And to open our service with prayer, please.
Almighty God, this group bows before you now and asks that you will hear our prayer as we begin our memorial service unto you. Forgive us of our sins, that we may be allowed to approach you with open hearts and joy. We thank you for everything that you give to us. We thank you for our food and shelter. And now we ask that you will help those that are in need of these same things. We ask that you will return your Son to us soon to establish your kingdom. And if it's your will, we will serve you in it. These favors and blessings are asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll sing hymn 188 in conjunction with our morning exhortation. Hymn 188, I know that my Redeemer lives, this thought transporting pleasure gives, and standing at the latter day on earth his glories will display. 188. Brother Paul Wood will be delivering a word of exhortation on the seventh sign of John, that being the raising of the dead. And to focus our attention, he's asked that we read John chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's now give our attention to Brother Paul and his subject on the seventh sign of John.
Somebody thought about me. Is this going to be high enough? Okay. Brothers and sisters, I'm the old storyteller from High, Texas. Again. And I have to tell you a little story here since we sang that hymn about my grandfather. Spoke of the morning of the resurrection in this hymn and in his prayer, every prayer he offered, he would always say, and on the morning of the resurrection, own and crown us with everlasting life. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Every prayer he ever answered. And dawned on me and thought of my granddad when we sang that song. The 11th chapter of John, the seventh sign. The seventh miracle. Resurrection. Let us just quickly turn back to chapter 10. And let us make a point. And I would like for you to keep this word, the key word here in what I have to present, is resurrection and life. And I want you to pay and put in the forefront of your mind through this next 45 minutes. Life. Resurrection and then life. What life is Christ speaking of here? Chapter 10. Let's look at verse 10. He says about midway down of this verse, he says, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Life will we have more abundantly. This is eternal life, brothers and sisters, that we might have it more abundantly. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Jesus did give his life for us. And he rose the third day. He is sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, preparing a place for us where we might have life more abundantly. Keep this in the front of your minds, brothers and sisters, as we continue. Spiritual meaning of this was to show that believers who walk faithfully in the way of truth may be resurrected and given eternal life by our Lord and Savior, who is, as he says, the resurrection. In verse 25, that actual statement occurs, that he is the resurrection and the life, and that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And in this, as he deals with this situation with Lazarus and Martha and Mary, he is a loving shepherd. He is a loving person here. And we have three people here that have entered the truth in his name. It's evident of that. Think about the love that our Lord had for this family. He has the same love for us also. So he says here, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And no person, none of us, can appreciate the truth of God's Word and the power that he has manifested through his Son apart from an understanding of these words. You've got to understand who he is, if he is the resurrection. And when we look down the road at the life, and when we end up here this morning, we're going to look at that life. Okay? We're going to look at what verse 4 says here. It says, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God. The glory of God. And this man walked out of this tomb. Let me put another thing in the forefront of your mind. See the glory of God. I was going to bring my little picture of the 11th chapter of Isaiah. I used to have an old one, and it was like a family photograph. Everybody standing here, the animals out front, mortal enemies laying in harmony with each other. The glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I always thought to me that was glory as we see this. We've never seen this before, brothers and sisters, and we yearn for it every day, and it will come soon. Through his own sacrificial life and death, Christ gained from his Father the power to abolish the effects of sin and death over God's faithful servants. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 1. My old Bible seems to cling together in this humidity down here. And I can't bring my new one because I'm afraid I'll get lost in it. Let's begin with verse 17, and let's remember this statement here. It says, through His own sacrificial life and death, Christ gained from His Father the power to abolish the effects of sin and death over God's faithful servants. Verse 17. This is what Paul is praying for the Ephesian brethren here, that they might know. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of revelation and knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, and listen to this, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the Ecclesia, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This power which He wrought in Christ. You know, when you use the word wrought, and I know the King James uses this name here, I've always thought of wrought iron. You know how wrought iron is formed and made? By fire and beating. What was this power that He wrought in Christ? Think about our Lord's life. Think about what was about to come upon Him. The metal was almost ready. You know, God sent Him an angel to strengthen Him that He might endure this cross, that He might become the resurrection and the life, the power to bring us forth from the grave, the power that was wrought in Him, and He was ready. In the second chapter, speaking of Him being raised up far above all principality, look at verse 6, after that we have been quickened, brothers and sisters, in verse 1, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 10. And as we look back here, this power to abolish the sin and death in which we have in our members, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The hope of a bodily resurrection from the dead has been the firm conviction, brothers and sisters, of all true Israelites down through the ages. Without resurrection, God's plan and purpose as we know it from the Scriptures would be void. We have to remember that Abraham died. The only way is through a resurrection to life. And Abraham understood this. Moses understood this. Joshua understood this. David. They all, brothers and sisters, understood that there would be a resurrection at the time of the end. And they understood that Abraham's promise would be true and faithful, that he would inherit that land, and that all nations would be blessed by him, or through him. Let's look at chapter 5 of John, verses 28 and 29. Let's just begin with 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's look at Acts 26. And let's look first of all at verse 6 here. We find Paul, who is standing here before Agrippa. And he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promises made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I think I can almost see the expression on Paul's face here. Standing here before this man, and, you know, all the wisdom and understanding that Paul had here, he was having a hard time, I think, looking at King Agrippa here and saying, what is it that you can't understand this? There's one other verse here. I forgot to mark it. Let me look at it just a second. Okay, let's begin with 23 chapter 26. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doeth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul was there before these people because he was teaching the resurrection, brothers and sisters, and they had no understanding. Let's go then to the 24th chapter, and we want verse 15. Back up to 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now we've placed ourselves in the mind of resurrection, brothers and sisters, and let's look at this as Jesus came to show them what he was speaking of. This sickness is not of death. It is to show the glory of our Heavenly Father. So also the Jews needed to understand, as spiritual Israel, that only by God's power, manifested through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, could be raised to national newness of life. And I refer you back to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The valley of the dry bones, as we did yesterday, to the rebuilding of this nation. So we know the scene here, and we have all suffered, brothers and sisters, the loss of a loved one. Rips our heart out. We, like they, are saddened with grief. But like Martha and Mary, we are strengthened, brothers and sisters, by the knowledge of the truth. We are strengthened that we know through the resurrection of the dead that we might see our brothers and sisters again, our family members. As I said earlier, my grandfather even prayed for it. Every prayer, we should be doing the same. We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and when the news of this tragedy came to the Lord, His response was quick and to the point. And we look at that fourth verse there. This was the response. This sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He made it a point to know that Lazarus was dead, so he abode 2 days before he reacted to go to Mary and Martha. These 2 days were representative of 2 1,000-year days. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So these 2 days represents the 2,000-year period, brothers and sisters, that He is sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father before He returns to resurrect those who have entered His name and have chosen to serve Him every day of their life. At the end of this period, then He would return and raise those who by faith entered His name in baptism, and judge them worthy or unworthy. Let us take a look at 1 Thessalonians. And we want chapter 4. We all know this scripture, brothers and sisters. It should be ringing in our ears. Let's begin with verse 13. Paul tells them, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And we hope that that's what we're doing here this morning, is comforting one another, brothers and sisters, with what we know God's plan and purpose through His Son will eventually bring us. And that is this life more abundantly. When we understand this, brothers and sisters, then we can understand why Jesus said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Let's turn over to John chapter 17. This prayer, brothers and sisters, was just before our Lord's crucifixion. I only have the first few scriptures here, but I would really like to make an impact here of what Jesus is saying in this prayer. Verse 4 says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Glorify Me. Why? He manifested to us, brothers and sisters, God's Word, that we might eventually see the glory of Yahweh. And the reason why we know that is immediately after that, as we said yesterday, He prayed for the apostles. Those that God had given Him, He prayed for them, and we don't have time to read all this. Everything that He wanted to happen here with those apostles. In verse 20, He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Who are reading? Who is it that's reading their word this morning? Us. It's us. Do you think this prayer was heard? This was the Son of God. Had the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. I will assure you that this prayer was heard. Strength in this chapter. If you think that you might fail, just remember, this prayer was heard. Did He pray for that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. We also know, brothers and sisters, that in... Let's look at Luke 21 quickly. And let's look at verse 27. Speaking of this glory that he asked God to glorify Thou Me, Heavenly Father. And he says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. With power and great glory. That power that God wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead gave Him the power to resurrect, to forgive, and then to invite. Come ye blessed of My Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Numbers 14:21. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That they may have spiritual understanding of God's plan and purpose through His Son. As Martha and Mary, we must earnestly wait upon the return of Christ. and the love, brothers and sisters, that Christ showed towards this little family in the truth, we must reflect in our own hearts and minds to every brother and sister that we have. What did he say in 17th chapter of John? That they, as we are one, that they may all be one. Let us reflect and let us show that love, brothers and sisters, as he is about to show to Martha and Mary. Jesus then said, let us go to Judea. Those who were with him were a little apprehensive about that. The idea of going to Judea did not set well with them, but Jesus was not afraid, for his hour had not come. He knew nothing was going to happen to him until that hour came. His ministry was not complete, and he knew it. His hour had not yet come. That tells us that life is the time to serve the Lord. And he was going to do the will of God here. Let us serve God and do the will of God, because it is life in which we have the opportunity to do this. The glory of God cannot be seen unless we are prepared, brothers and sisters, to believe in what they see and hear and humbly acknowledge the divine power which has been manifested. Jesus explained to the disciples that he was glad that he had not been there. Lazarus' death was an appropriate setting for this miracle, for Lazarus was truly dead. This matter of his miraculous resurrection then could not be denied by anyone. And Martha responded to the Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Her response to him was, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, showing her love of God's plan and purpose for those who love him. This was her confession of her faith. Mary and Martha and Lazarus had responded to our Lord's invitation that we read about in the 11th chapter of Matthew yesterday to enter his name and to be quickened, as we find in Ephesians 2 and 1. No one who liveth again and believeth on me shall in any wise die forever. That the belief of the truth and obedience thereto is not something which can be destroyed by physical death, so long as a person continues to live in Christ, permitting the influence of the divine word to develop the godly characteristics which we see in Christ. What a perfect example he is, brothers and sisters. You know, there's the beauty of God's plan and purpose through His Son, the beauty of the obedience of our Lord to His Heavenly Father. There's a beauty in the sacrifice that Jesus did to God for Himself and for us. And think about what the beautiful example that is set before us, and we should always walk in His footsteps. It's very difficult to do, brothers and sisters, and we have to turn around and look and see that we're flesh. Let's look in the mirror and let's be honest one with the other. Do we not try? We have to try, because that example is set before us. Pray every day that we can walk in Jesus' footsteps, that we might be in those that it speaks of there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Whether we live or die in Christ, We have hope, a hope of the resurrection to eternal life. And in the 17th chapter of John, brothers and sisters, as we look at this prayer, which Christ offered, we see the abiding love for those who have entered His name. So let us take a look at the rest of this miracle and see what transpires here, which we will also see in the future. Go back to John chapter 11. He says the humanity of the Son of God was then manifested in verse 33. We want to read some of this. We see this compassion that Jesus had on this small family. And we see that Jesus here, it showed that he was human also, that he was a man. It hurt him. It tore his heart out. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And our Lord wept because of his friend Lazarus and because of Mary and Martha. Their grief. And he wanted to comfort them, brothers and sisters. Verse 36 says, "Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Didn't quite understand what Jesus said in verse 4. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now let's place ourselves in this position. Would we be standing there anxious? Would we believe? Would we understand and know what's about to take place here? And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He told her again, in verse 40, and Jesus told her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." If we were standing there, brothers and sisters, what would we have thought? How would we have reacted as they reacted? And we know that Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus would be raised in the last day. And he will. But Jesus had to show who he was. He had to show them and the Jews that he was the resurrection and the life. He wanted them to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I would hope if we would have been there that our hearts would have been so overjoyed to have the understanding of this miracle shown to us that we might further believe. Okay? Scriptures are so beautiful. And if we can reap the spiritual meaning of the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, I think we're on a good road. Okay? And I hope I have the ability to tell you what I want to say. They were astonished that he wanted the stone rolled away. What are we going to see here? Do we have to see this? They were about to see the glory of Yahweh. Remember that little picture I said I had? I wished I'd have brought it where I could put it right here. Where only righteousness dwelled. That's where we're headed. You can imagine what they thought and what they would see. But as Jesus told them before, that they would see the glory of God. If we are spiritual Israel, we will see, but the chief priests and the Pharisees only took counsel to see what they should do to this man. So they sought to take him and kill him. And the Jews are in this frame of mind still today, brothers and sisters. But those spiritual Jews who are in this room have wisdom and understanding. And I want us to every day give thanks for that wisdom and understanding. The resurrection and then the life. And now let's complete this. And let me let you understand why I wanted you to keep that word life in the forefront of your mind. First of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 25 through 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. 1 Peter. And we want chapter 5. And we're going to do a sequence of scriptures here, brothers and sisters, to say what I would like to say. And when the chief, verse 4 of chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's that life. You know, Brother Mike Coode, Texas Bible School, one year, showed the time period that we were in, according to the creation and everything. He had a string struck across the tabernacle. And he reached over here and he put a clothespin right over here. This is us. He said, crown that fadeth not away, if we have entered the name of Christ, we will see beyond that clothespin. If not, we won't. And he, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Why? For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. He's at the door, and we're sitting on the edge of our chairs. Resurrect those in whom we lost, and maybe even some of us yet. King James uses the word shall here, brothers and sisters. That word, should is recommended, and shall is mandatory. Colossians 3. One through four. So if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There's that word glory again. Okay? What about that life? I'm sorry, I'm going a little over here. Is that okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. What is this life? I am the resurrection and the life. What is this life? We've showed the resurrection. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into anything, enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In closing, in due course, with the Lord's death, it appeared that the seed of the serpent had triumphed over the seed of the woman. But it didn't happen, did it? He rose the third day. But he who had so unwaveringly proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life," came forth from the tomb to be elevated to the wondrous glory of divine nature and to remain deathless throughout all eternity. He had abolished death in his own body and brought life and immortality to light to us in prospect and in hope for all in spirit and in truth. Would anticipate and love his appearing. His true disciples down through the ages have waited for him to appear the second time, bringing salvation for all who have served him faithfully. And the faithful have uttered their hope with one voice. Revelations 22. We want to look at verse 20. "He which testified of these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Again, I want to thank you for bringing Gladys and I here to let us share this weekend with you, and also to Brother Ed and Sister Trish for their beautiful hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Truly a great and precious hope that we have, and a delight, the life that we have to expect is unparalleled. Enter into our memorial service with a singing of hymn 104. Sing praise, the tomb is void, where the Redeemer lay. Sing of our bonds destroyed, our darkness turned to day. Weep for your dead no more. Friends, be of joyful cheer. Our star moves on before. Our narrow path shines clear. Hymn 104. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere those doctrines and commandments stated therein. In order to focus our minds on the partaking of the emblems for the memorial service, we're going to call on Brother Dave Pirtle to prepare.
As we prepare to partake of these emblems representative of our Lord's body and blood, in doing so, we will touch upon many of the references that our brothers this weekend have so eloquently touched upon, because I don't believe that we would find any one of the discussions on John that didn't point towards this table and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's death. One of our founding fathers said, we all of us need this weekly reminder of Christ. The Bible's representation to us of human nature says, man is dark. He is spiritually dead, left to his own native devices and resources. He says further that light comes from without. We know no light or life but that which our Lord Jesus Christ provides us. Paul, in Ephesians, says, "For we were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of light." Continuing in this time in Colossians, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet," or made us fit, "to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," or death, "and has translated us," or brought us, "to the kingdom of his dear Son." Again, Paul, this time in Ephesians, says, "Walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us," for all of us here this day, "as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." These very comments are actually reflective of the burnt offering of the Old Testament, where a male without spot, in obedience to Yahweh's request. Leviticus says, "But the inwards and the legs shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all at the altar, a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord." How did this journey to this table begin? How did life or death lead to life? We begin this journey, as we have talked about over the last couple of days, when we speak about Abraham and David, not them as individuals, but of the promises that were given unto them. In fact, as was just read in our last discussion, was a reflection of Paul's comments in Acts 26, when they were judged to the hope of the promises of God that were given unto our fathers, as comments by Paul. Firstly, we see Christ as a seed of David. We begin with King David's desire, as we remember, to build for Yahweh a house for the ark. However, Yahweh had a different plan. He makes a covenant with David and speaks to the seed of the future, the house and the kingdom that will last forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. "And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over the people Israel, have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall be proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Verse 16, "And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever." Continuing on in the Old Testament, we have in the book of Isaiah, familiar words, chapter 53. And to highlight just a few of those, beginning in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? Of whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up from him a tender plant as a root out of dry ground," or a spiritual wasteland. "He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He shall be despised and rejected," as we remember the days before the cross. "Surely he had been borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And verse 5, "And with his stripes we are healed." Verse 6, "We are like sheep, have gone astray, and have turned everyone to his own way." The very challenges of the flesh that we have each day on our own. "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity for us all." Paul, in the New Testament, in speaking of the harmony in Galatians, this time from chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, and the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he saith not, to thy seeds as many, but of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verses 26 through 29, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. So we have Abraham, David, Christ, and we become heirs to these promises through baptism. He said in the beginning that man was in darkness. His nature really is not to do that which is the will of the Father, but that which is sinful. 1 Corinthians 15, we are reminded, for in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Again, this conflict that we've heard about from our brothers in the last couple of days. However, we are encouraged repeatedly in the Scriptures, for God seeks reconciliation to bring us back into the fold. 1 Peter, we read in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 to highlight, we are reminded that we are not redeemed with corruptible things. I'm sure we remember hearing from our brother, not of silver and gold, not of the things that are important to man, but rather with the blood, a precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so our Lord Jesus fulfilled two parts of that. He became the offering for all mankind and has become the priest and the mediator for us. Colossians 1, picking up where we left off, read earlier in the first chapter, verses 14, 19, and 20 to highlight, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him, that Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself. And so we have reconciliation with our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, versus that which we said, in Adam all die. Ephesians 1, we read again, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to God's grace, through his grace. Romans, almost a repeat of these words, in chapter 3 we read, in verses 23 through 25, for all having sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so, we are a purchased people. We are brought from darkness unto light by Christ. A sister once mentioned to me that if we take into our mind's eye a walk through a cemetery, which was mentioned earlier, actually, today, and we look at the markers of the graves, most likely you will see a beginning of life date and an end of life date. And in between those two dates will be a dash. And so we think upon that, reflect upon that, and say, that dash makes up for all of the time, all of the time of our life. And for us, that dash represents how we responded to the sacrifice during our lifetime to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is something to think about. Romans 6, on this pathway to the table, or this journey of remembrance. Romans 6, we read this chapter frequently when we're using words for a newly baptized member to highlight just a couple of verses. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism to death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that he shall live with him. And so we come here to remember the commitments that we made as we walked through the waters of baptism. To do that which our brother, our older brother, provided as an example to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, we highlight, for he that was called in the Lord to be a servant is the Lord's servant's free man. Likewise also he called, being free from death, is Christ's servant. And so we are bought with a price, with his blood. We are told, be ye not servants of men. And so, as we partake of these emblems, we are reminded that we must not betray this commitment we made. We come here to renew in these emblems, to refocus our priorities of remembrance of our Savior, our Messiah, our High Priest, the seed of Abraham and of David, the Son of God, the Anointed One. Romans 5, highlighting verses 1, 8, 11, and 12. Justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinners, but Christ died for us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement or the reconciliation. By one man, again, as we read in 1 Corinthians earlier, by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and by sin, and all have sinned as well. In verse 15 of the same chapter, verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, so is the free gift. For though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned on by one, much more, which we have received the abundance of grace by the gift of righteousness that shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And finally, in the last verse, that the sin hath reigned unto death, even my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by our Lord Jesus, by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, we now follow his example as we partake of these emblems. To follow our older brother's example given to us in the scriptures, where in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we read in part, you do show or you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, as we partake of these emblems. And we are told in Matthew 26, verse 29, in closing, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It is our prayer, brothers and sisters, for the soon return of our Heavenly Father's Son, and that we as servants may be found worthy in that kingdom to be established on this earth.
Before we partake of the emblems, let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Read verses 19 through 20 of the memorial service. Read. And Jesus, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." I'd like to call on Brother Robbie Bennett to give thanks for the bread.
Merciful and righteous Father in heaven, Yahweh, we approach unto thee with thankful hearts to come to this table to remember thy Son. And now as we partake of this bread, may it bring to our minds how it represented thy Son's body, a body which contained the same sin nature in which we all have been born with. Yet in his life, Father, he was capable of overcoming the weakness of sin's flesh and offering up his body as a living sacrifice to thee daily. May we too, Father, walk in the image of thy Son after the pattern of his walk each day. May we feed upon his words, Father, which we also see as representative in this bread, thy word of truth, which came from thee, and he spoke amongst those that would follow him, and we have set before us in thy holy word. May we glean from it. May we receive it. May we digest it. And may we follow it so that we may be prepared to enter in thy kingdom at thy Son's return. These things, Father, we give you thanks for. Through thy Son, our Redeemer, High Priest, and soon to come King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I'd like to call on Brother Mac Barley to give thanks for the wine.
Gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, the God of love, peace, mercy, and truth, we humbly approach thee now in prayer, partaking of this cup of wine, recognizing it as a symbol of thy Son's shed blood, shed that we might have redemption. As we partake of this wine and it becomes a part of us, help us to be reminded of our duties to follow in his steps, to have thy word become a part of our lives, that we might manifest thy character in our lives, and manifest the characteristics that he displayed in his sacrifice, that of always putting aside the flesh for thy glory. We know, Father, that we have not been redeemed with any corruptible thing, but by the precious life of thy Son, given in crucifixion upon the stake. For that which he endured, we are grateful. And we remember him now and give unto him the thanksgiving that is due for this great gift, and to thee for the offering of thy only begotten Son. Forgive us of our sins and iniquities. Guide and direct us, we pray, till that day he returns. For it is in his name we pray unto thee, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We'll close this morning service with the singing of a hymn and a prayer, and then afterwards, please be seated for a few announcements. The closing prayer will be hymn 106. Loving Shepherd, of thy sheep, keep thy lambs in safety keep. Nothing can thy power withstand, none can pluck them from thy hand. After which, we'll call on Brother Lou Locklear to close with a prayer.
Almighty, righteous, ever merciful Heavenly Father,
we offer our thanks to Thee now for this time to come together to consider Thy word as proclaimed through Thy prophet John, to understand those great miracles, those great signs that Thy Son manifested, to strengthen and encourage all, that Thy will would be done here on this earth, that there is a means of redemption from this curse that we are all born under, that we might come to learn to love and appreciate the great blessing we have in Thee and the great sacrifice and love that Thy Son manifested as well. We thank Thee for this time, Father, for the fellowship we've had one with another, and for the great love and blessings we receive from Thee always. We offer our thanks to Thee through Thy Son's name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.